Welcome and thank you for listening to this message from Legacy Church New Braunfels. To connect with us, go to legacynb.com. Now enjoy this message from our special guest.
I'm going to get straight to business because I want to give our good friend Bill Byers enough time to really share what's on his heart. The Bible says this, you don't have many, you have a lot of teachers, abundant of teachers, you don't have many fathers. I don't think he was saying that's the way the standard is supposed to be, okay? There's supposed to be an abundance of kingdom fathers because it's from a family, fathers and mothers, that actually sons and daughters are raised up. And as a father and mother, you can teach them, but it comes from the heart of being a father and mother. And I've been blessed to be a part of the family with Papa Jack for years, where I've been surrounded by kingdom fathers. And Bill Byers is one of those men who's been just a kingdom father to many, many, many. I love this man so much. I love his passion for Jesus. I love his passion for my family. Every time we get together, it's just like we've never spent any time apart. And so I want you to really receive from him, because I know what's on his heart is really directly from the Father's heart. So why don't y'all stand up with me and just give a warm legacy welcome to Bill.
Hallelujah. I'm really glad the Bible says that Jesus sat down and taught. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Well, that's nice. Good morning. It's been a while. It's been a minute since I've been with you. Some may not know me, but that's okay. You will. I need to finish on time. I don't know what time is, because I have to be in Honolulu at 2:15 this afternoon. So it's going to be a hurry. Thank God for the internet and Zoom. I'm going to Zoom over. Father, thank you for this morning. I ask for your anointing to be upon these lips to speak, and let that same anointing be upon our hearts to hear. Not just the words spoken in a message, but that you would hear, that they would hear your voice into their hearts. We ask that you would increase light within each one of us, Father, in Jesus' wonderful, wonderful name. Amen. In the beginning, it's a good place to start. In the beginning, God, and you can wrap all of the Bible into those four words. That's in concentrated seed form. Everything that's in the Bible is right there. In the beginning, God. And says it created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And he was talking about the fourth day that was yet to come, but he was also speaking in the moment. And there was the realm of the spirit light that was released in that moment. And inside, the sun, moon, stars were created. And that light was given and released into the cosmos. And it includes all light. It was all there. And so the Spirit of God is going to activate. The chair goes. It's not going to work. He's going to activate the power of the spirit of wisdom and understanding in our being to allow revelation that was released there to continue going. Light travels. It's never stagnant. Light is never stagnant. It's always moving. It's always traveling. It's always going forward. It never goes backwards. Once it goes forward, it's going. And so when we enter into the kingdom of God, he gives to us light of the understanding of his will. Now, a lot of people, I don't think this congregation does, so I'm going to be speaking to the internet people. A lot of people really struggle with the idea of the will of God. Some people actually think that the will of God is something that is difficult, impossible, and scary. But it's not. It's not. It's not difficult, it's not impossible, and it's not scary. It's laid out very, very clearly, precisely for us to understand. In fact, in Ephesians 5:17, I think. Let me look here. Yeah, 5:17. He says that Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus, and he says, "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Let me put it in Texas terms. The Greek, if you're really sensitive, please forgive me. I'm going to step right on your toe. The Greek translation of "do not be unwise" is "don't be stupid." Don't be stupid. Which leaves room for us to be stupid, right? I was telling Pastor Jay last night, you know, the spirit of stupid can get on any one of us at any given point in time. It's just kind of roaming around looking for a place to rest. And Paul says, don't do that. Don't be stupid. But instead of being stupid, step over into another dimension and understand what the will of the Lord is. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I'm not going to get very far in it. I'm just going to kind of skip over some highlights. But we need to understand what the will of the Lord is, because we need to not live reactionary. We need to live with purpose. We need to live with determination. We need to live intentional. And operating out of what forever has been. In this building, this is a lovely facility. I love coming here. But I want to tell you, the most important part of the whole building is what's under your feet right now, and that's the foundation. It supports the whole structure. We don't think about it very much, but it's there, and it's working, constantly working. It never takes a day off, thank God, or the building wouldn't exist. It would crumble. And so the foundation is the most important part of any structure. And the foundation of our understanding is the most important part of the structure of the kingdom of God in our heart and our life. When we actually understand what the will of God is, so that we can cooperate and give ourselves to it. And partner with God. That's what He's wanting. He's bringing this into existence. And so I want you to look at in the book of Ephesians with me today. I'm going to just start reading. You catch up when you get there. Ephesians 1:7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, which He made. He made. Notice these things. He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. It wasn't me making. It's He made it. God did this. And it says, having made known to us, past tense, having made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. Thank God this is all built on the whole kingdom. The whole structure of the kingdom is built on the foundation of God Himself. It's not built on our need for to be recognized. It's not built on our giftings. It's not built on our strength. Thank God it's not. It would have ceased to exist a long, long time ago. And so it's utterly and completely amazing to me. It's written. It's just written. He says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one. He's all about oneness. All things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in Him also we have. Past tense. This is a done deal, honey. We have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. He's not reacting to anything. He doesn't react. He doesn't have to react to anything. He's like an old plow horse that's just plowing, and he's moving, and it doesn't matter what happens in between the time where he starts and the time where he ends his day. He's going to finish his job. There's something to be said for faithfulness, and there's something to be said for endurance. It's important to start right and to start strong, but it's even more important to finish right and to finish strong. I thank God. Thank God. I just praise Him, and I bless His name because this is built in Him. It's not built on us. We're the beneficiaries. It says the counsel, according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be. That's a state of being. That's not a state of doing. The doing will come out of the being. But it's a state of being that we should be. What? To the praise of His glory. That my life, your life, our lives as individuals and as a collective congregation should be to the praise of His glory. That means when people are passing by and taking a look at us, they see the love of God, they see the mercy of God, they see the grace of God, they see the will of God being lived out on planet Earth. Right here, right now, contemporary. Here, not in some book a long, long time ago. And if I seem like I'm really keyed up and really passionate, I'm really keyed up and I'm really passionate. This is important because too many people are living unnecessarily at risk in their lives and compromised in their lives because they don't know the will of God, which is just simply written. It's there. You don't have to guess. People have got a strange idea about the will of God. Well, you know, I'm going to do that if it's the will of God. No, 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 don't be stupid. Don't be stupid. Understand what the will of God is. Don't guess at what the will of God is. It's not given to us to guess. Guessing is not part of the inheritance. Fear is not part of the inheritance. Faith, there's a wonderful old hymn. Faith, the mighty promise sees, looks to God alone, laughs at impossibilities and shouts, it shall be done. Against the foe and veils below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the mighty gift of God. He gives it to us so that we can understand. In fact, it says in Hebrews 11, by faith we understand. So we've got no excuse. And we don't need an excuse. I want to understand, don't you? You want to understand? Good. I'm glad you do because we're going to understand today. Okay. I'm going to skip 30 pages of my notes. And I'm going to get to 3 points. These are the 3 fundamental, foundational stones of the will of God. And they all start before time began. Let me say that again. They all start before time began. And security in your heart and your life like never before. The first foundational stone, it was the goodwill of our Father to predestinate us to be His children. That went right over somebody's head here. It was the goodwill of God to predestine us to become His children. If His will wasn't exercised, you wouldn't be here, nor would I. Legacy Church wouldn't exist. It was the goodwill of God. This is why we're here. He purposed it in His heart to choose you. Look at this, Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, past tense, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Honey, let me tell you something. Everything that heaven has to offer, everything that heaven has, it's already given to you in Christ. It's yours. It's mine. It's ours. There's, of course, it's the same substance, but there's more of it there. But we've got access here. Now, look at verse 4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Key word, foundation. In the definition of the word foundation is the idea to conceive. It's there in the word of foundation. Here's another translation. You'll get it, mobeta. He chose us in him before he conceived the thought of creating the cosmos. You are his primary thought. Some of you don't believe it, but it's true. Well, that's just too good to be true. No, it's not. It's too good because it's true. He chose you, he chose me, he chose us before the foundation of the world, before he conceived the thought that the cosmos even needed to be in existence. He chose us. We were the first thought in him concerning all of this. That means that the cosmos is an afterthought to you. It's like this. God planned and God chose for you and he chose for me. And then he stopped after he chose us and he said, oh, I'm going to need some place to put them. Oh, baby, let me tell you something. Just this purpose, just this part of his will alone will set you free. And it will make you free. And you will live free, different than you've ever lived in all of your life before. When you understand he chose you before he ever made a tree. God bless the tree huggers. But they've got it backwards. David caught a glimpse. Psalms 139. He said this. He got this a magnificent supernatural glimpse by faith. He jumped generations. He just jumped. Faith can do this for you. You can just jump generations and you can see out there and you can see into the heart of the Father. And he said, Your thoughts toward me as an individual, your thoughts toward me are more in number than the sands of the seas. Oh, it's really good. It's really, really, really good. Go down to the coast. I would suggest going to Hawaii. There's a lot of coasts. I'm going to Hawaii today. And go to the beach and take one human hand and scoop out a human handful of sand and take a look at it and then get you a set of tweezers and just start counting the grains of one human hand of sand. Chances are, like me, because I've done it, chances are you're going to get really tired of counting really quick and you're just going to dump it back into the beach. And you're going to think, dear God, really? You really think of me like that? Your thoughts, you're constantly thinking, you're constantly dreaming, you're constantly enjoying, you're constantly just speaking life and light and liberty into my heart, and now I'm beginning to live. And when you start thinking like this, you're thinking with God rather than thinking about God. Too often we're living in the past. He wants us to come up to speed. You remember this scripture? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. That's the first. Then from the eagles, what happens? They shall run and not be weary. What? You'd think that flying was higher than running. But it's not, according to God. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And then they shall walk and not faint. You know why it's in that order? Because we're catching up and we finally get in step with Him. And we just walk with Him. We walk with Him. We think with Him. We function. This is how Jesus lived His life. I only do what I see my Father doing. I only say what I hear my Father say. He's walking in locked step with Him. He chose us. He chose us. He has blessed us. He has chosen us. And he purposed this before the foundations of the earth, before He conceived the thought of creating planet Earth and the universe and all of the other universes. He loves you. In fact, if you just pull back the veil that's been torn from top to bottom already, it's still hanging there, but it's been torn. You can pull the veil back and you have access. You can step in. And when you step in, you can look at His heart. And when you look at His heart, it is so wonderful. It is so pure. It is so beautiful. It is so full of love that it's almost embarrassing. And quite frankly, when you first get there and you first start looking inside of His heart, your natural reaction, if you don't catch yourself and correct yourself really quick, your natural reaction is, no, that can't be. If you only knew what I did. He did. He does. He knows everything. He knows what you don't know. He not only knows what you did, He knows why you did what you did. And most of us can't even figure out why we do what we do. I mean, we're like, what the? Why did I say that? Why did I have that attitude with my children? Where did that reaction come from? You. Because we're not living, thinking with God, living in His will, dreaming with Him, hoping with Him, gracing with Him, mercying with Him. Because when I do that, everything changes. He chose you. He chose you. He chose you, knowing you're good, you're bad, and you're ugly. He chose you. I remember one day, I'll be painfully transparent. Is that okay? Can y'all handle it? I don't know if you can or not, but I'm going to throw it at you, and we'll see if you can catch it. I was in Honolulu one day. We used to live and pastor there. Usually that's where the "oh" comes from. We lived and we pastored there. It's paradise. Just remember that there's snakes in paradise on two legs. That's what the Bible says. And I was there and I was on H1. H1 is why they named it that, I don't know, because that's Interstate 1. Stop and think about it. Interstate highways in Hawaii. I don't know. That's a mystery to me. And it's about, where I was about 6 lanes wide going one way. And it was gridlock, but it was moving. And someone in the far left lane decided that they needed the next exit that was only 100 yards away. And they just move it right across the traffic. They don't even look. People slamming on their brakes, women with children in their car. Me on the way to a very important appointment. Here's the shocking part. I got his attention and I pointed to heaven. Chances are, if you're laughing, you've done it too. And the Holy Spirit said to me, I knew you'd do that. What you don't understand, son, is what his day has been like. You don't know where he's coming from, and you don't know where he's going to. His appointment is more important than yours. He's on the way to the hospital. And I pulled off to the side of the road, and I repented, and I cried, and I started interceding for that guy. And pouring my heart out, and no sooner did I start doing that, that the love of God, the Father's heart, started pouring through my heart, and I thought my heart was going to explode with love for the person that I just pointed to heaven with one finger. I never made it to my appointment that day. I had a better appointment that was designed by God, because not only did he know what I would do, he knew why I would do what I did. And he knew that he could speak to me in that moment and that it would change the course of everything for me and for the guy that cut me off and hazarded both of our lives. We need to think with God. He thinks different than we think. And he brings us into the place where we see through the lenses of the grace and the mercy and the love of God. Because we're in his family. We're his children. In fact, the Bible calls us his dear children. His dear children. His beloved ones. And so, we need to understand what his purposes are. We need to understand what his will is. We need to understand that he created the cosmos to house his most precious possession, which is his family. Families, it's everything. It's everything. I know that better now than I've ever known it in all my life. We just received, given to us, and she is ours. We've made that known. Our 7th grandbaby. And my daughter at the hospital put her in my arms. And she says, here, Dad. Here's your new daughter, granddaughter. Her name is Emmeline. And I took her into my arms and I cried on her face and I prophesied into her for about 2 hours. Family is everything. It's vitally important that we understand this is what is in our Father's heart. This is how he functions. This is how he rolls. He loves family. And he wants an enlarged family, and he wants his enlarged family to re-present him into this generation. And so knowing that we're chosen, knowing that he chose us before he did anything else, before the foundations of the cosmos, when I know that, I'm going to live my life differently than I've ever lived it before. I'm probably going to put my shoulders back a little more. I'm probably going to lift my head up a little bit more, and I'm probably going to look people eye to eye differently, because every single face that you will ever see for the rest of your life, he loves. Every face that I'm looking into this morning, he loves you. You'd be shocked. You'd be shocked at how much he loves you. You'd be shocked. He chose you. He chose you. He chose you. He chose you. He chose us. And we're family. And he created it all to be the container of his glory, all of his family. Oh, my, I'm not going to make it. Don't be unwise. Don't be stupid. Understand, he chose you. The second foundational stone, it was the will of our Father for Jesus to come and to save us. And he did it. He did it. I was telling Pastor Jayton last night, actually about midnight, wasn't it? I don't know if y'all can handle me or not, but this statement, when you start realizing it, it will put a knot in your theological panties. It says Revelation 13:8. He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Oh dear. He provided salvation before salvation was needed. He provided salvation before salvation was a necessity for human beings. He provided salvation before Adam made his choices, because he knew what choices Adam would make. In fact, he didn't just provide salvation, he is salvation. He is Savior. He is Redeemer. He forever has always been Redeemer. It's not some new attribute that he just dreamed up for himself, like putting on a new garment. No, honey, this is out of his heart. He is Savior, and he's always been Savior. And I'll tell you, one of the things that he wanted to do was he wanted to reveal his nature as Savior and Redeemer. That's what put people's theology in. What? You mean he did this knowing what we would do? Yep. I exactly mean that. He is Savior. He is Redeemer. And he did it before he ever thought of creating, had even the conception of the thought of creating the cosmos. He's already done it. It's already done. It's a done deal. Let me go through another 30 pages. Here you go. Titus, listen to this. 1. Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. but has in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me, Paul says, according to the commandment of God, our Savior, simply because it is written in the beginning, God. He chose to save because that's who he is. There is no such thing as plan B with God. It's all plan A, and there isn't a plan B. My, do you mean my salvation is that secure? Uh-huh. It's all in him. And he was big enough to get a hold of your heart and my heart when we, I don't know about you, but I wasn't looking for salvation. I was a professional sinner, mind you. I was good at it. I was a sinner looking for a place to make sin happen. And I loved it. I loved it with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. I was very good at it. I was a professional sinner. I don't go for amateur stuff. I used to race motorcycles professionally when I was young and not as bright as I am now. My body is telling me that was dumb. And I didn't want to stay in the amateur ranks. I had to go for pro rank. And that's the way I was with my whole life. I just did it that way. And he came looking for me, and he found me, and he supernaturally turned this life around when nobody or any of the dogs that they have thought that I would ever become a Christian. He got a hold of me, and he would not let me go. Hallelujah. And he's never let me go. And I'll tell you another thing about God. He's not afraid of sin or sinners. My friend, father in my life, his name's Jim Hilton. You should have Jim come down sometime, if you can get him. He says this, God runs to sin like a fireman runs to a burning building to put it out. He's not afraid of it. He's running right into the danger of it. And he's got the remedy. And he saved me. And he saved you too. And even if you're in this room and you're not Christian yet, he saved you too. You just don't know it yet. You just need to wake up. You just need to receive what he's already given to you. What he's already purchased for you. Ay, ay, ay. He gave himself to redeem us from all iniquity. And the third foundational stone is by his will we are, have been, are, and forever shall be sanctified. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. What does that mean? Sanctification is a fancy schmancy word that means God separated you unto himself for his purposes. That means he just came walking by and he just put his hand on you. You're mine. You might think that you're your own, but you're not. You're mine, he says. You're mine. You're mine. And sanctification is given to us. It's a gift from heaven. It's nothing that you can work for. It's nothing that you can dress appropriately for. It's not how you put your hair up or down or shave or any other thing. It has nothing to do with our outward extremities or our outward manner of life. It has nothing to do with that. It's the person of Jesus Christ. He was made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. It's who he is. He is my sanctification. When he chose to take up residence on the inside of me, Oh, honey. He chose to come and live here. He chose. And when he comes and he lives here, he only does what the Father does, and he only says what the Father says. And so he takes that, he plants that deep inside of my spirit man, and then he is not content to live inside of a box. He did that one time. He's not going to do it again. It's just too cramped. And what did he do? He came out. And what does he do with your heart, your life? Your body, what does he do? He sanctifies us. He sets us apart for his own purpose, and then he takes that sanctification and he works it out little by little by little into my thinking, into my emotions, into my will. And then he goes and he starts working his way through my hands. And the hands start lining up with the will of God, doing what God wants, going and touching. I remember one time. I got time for a story? I was a young pastor. It was my second pastorate, and I was trending. Is that right? Is that the right way to use that? I'm 20th century. Forgive me. I'm trying to fit in. And I knew it all. I knew it all. And if you didn't believe me, I would tell you. I can laugh about it now. It's so silly, really. And we had a terrible disease break out in the church that I was pastoring. I mean, it was terrible. It was much worse than COVID-19. It went through everybody. I mean, it just saturated the whole congregation, and it was the disease of gossip. Oh, boy, it was an ugly case of it, too. And as usual, the pastor is the last one to find out. And I found out. And everybody's already infected with the disease. And it's rampant. It's in its contagious form. It's touching everything and everybody. Did you know? Did you hear? It infuriated me. Honestly, it did. And I thought to myself, here's a young pastor. I thought to myself, you know what? Everybody's infected with this thing. Everybody's involved in this thing. I'm just going to correct it publicly. And I'm just going to just clean up the whole mess at one time, one service, get her done. Right? Right? I was a young pastor. I thought I was right. And actually, I was right. I was, honest. So I addressed it. And I let them have it. With all the legalism that I could muster. It's true. It's true. And as I was giving it to them, and I was right, and they were repenting, and the tears were flowing, it was glorious. Because the correction was taking place. And in the midst of the proper correction, I got involved with it. And I got upset and I got angry. And I mixed me with thee. And everybody cried, everybody repented, everybody came to the altar. They left crying and I left satisfied. I did it. And I went home. My wife had the slow cooker with a roast and potatoes and carrots in it. And you open the door to your home and that fragrance just is heaven on earth. It hit my nostrils and I thought, oh, this is God's day. This is so wonderful. I walked into my office to put my Bible on my desk, turned to go back to the kitchen to partake of heaven, and Jesus himself spoke to me, and Jesus said to me, "Don't you ever talk to my wife like that again." I didn't even make it to the door of my office to get out. I hit the floor. I stayed there for the rest of the day. I never did eat that meal. I was eating another meal. It was his will to sanctify us. That means we're set apart for him and him alone. And we're to yield to him and to him alone, to let him come through. Not my anger. Not my frustration. Those are things that they have to be dealt with before I ever come here. I've been painfully transparent to you this morning because you need to understand that we're all alike. All of us are. We're in this together and we're all alike. And God must let that sanctifying process, not only is it a gift, but then it's a gift that continues giving. It's a process afterward in my life and in my heart, in my thinking. Where it's getting rid of the stuff that's garbage and it's activating that which is eternal, perfect in our heart and in our life. And this is the will of God. He chose us. He redeemed us. He sanctified us. And he did all three of these things. We don't do any of that. This is the actions of God himself. And when we know that we know, that we know, that we know, that we know, that we know that this is true in here for me and for thee and for all of us, we're going to live life looking through different lenses altogether. We're going to put on Holy Ghost lenses to where we can see things as they ought to be seen. And we're going to evaluate things as it ought to be evaluated. And we're going to understand that he did these things. And when I understand just these three elements alone, just these three foundational stones alone, when I get this and it gets inside of me and it's working inside of me and it's really genuinely true inside of my heart and inside of my thinking, I'm going to think different. I'm going to live different. I'm going to relate differently than I ever related before. I'm going to live in a level of grace that I never lived in before. I'm going to live in a level of mercy that I never lived in before. I'm going to live in a level of love that I never dreamed that I would live in. And it's just going to start flowing. It's going to start flowing in my heart and through my heart. Because why? Because he chose me to be in his family. His DNA structure is inside of me. It's inside of you. And so basically what I'm saying to you is that this is his will. Just let his will be done. And it just seems to me that somebody really important said that we should pray that way. Let your kingdom, erkomai is the word, come from there and bring it here. Let your kingdom, your righteousness, your peace, and your joy in the person of Holy Spirit, let bring that here. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done, and then it has a peculiar preposition, and the preposition means two different words. It can be translated properly both ways, and I think it should be properly translated both ways at the same time. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done in earth and on earth. First, it's in this earth. And then through here on earth. This is how he answers the prayer that he taught us to pray. He brings his kingdom and he brings his will to be done in earth and on earth as it is in heaven through you and me, through us. Why? Because he chose for it to be this way. This is his design. This is his will. This is his heart. And that's my time. I've pushed you beyond your saturation point. I can feel it. You're like, I don't even have room for dessert. There's this wonderful reality that I learned when I pastored in Hawaii years ago. One of the first things that the local people there in the island of Maui taught me was, oh, you know, pasta. We know eat till we full. We eat till we tired. And you know what? Those guys do. They don't eat till they're full. They eat. They go beyond that. They eat till they're tired. I mean, a child's first birthday party in Hawaii, if it's true local first birthday party, 3 days. 3 days. It's party time, right? And so God brings us into his kingdom, and he's going to develop us, and he's going to develop our hunger and our thirst so that we no more brah. No more of the kind eat till we full. We stay eating, you know, till we tired. I think you're a little bit tired. It's been a delight to be with you. I'd love to, this is 85 pages of notes shrunk down to 45 minutes. I'd love to come back and break it out and unpack it with you over like 4 or 5 days, you know, and just need to have a conference of about 4 or 5 days and just get in the word and just go, you know, just go for it. I love you guys. I pray for you often. My wife and I pray for you guys often, far more than you know. Far more than you know. We pray for you. We love you. I watch you online. I monitor things from behind the scenes. You don't know that. Fathers do these kinds of things, you know. They check up on their kiddos. But I just want to tell you that we love you. I want you to stand up. I want to impart something to you as a congregation. You've been so kind and you've been so patient to stick with me and to, I don't think I lost a one of you. You all stayed in the boat. Not one was lost. It's out of the book of Acts. I'd like you to close your eyes and I'd like you to turn your face toward heaven. If you can do this, this is not a sobriety test. And I'd like you to hold your hands out in front of you as if somebody was going to give you a big box that was a wonderful Christmas gift that you didn't know what was on the inside. Because you're about to receive something and God's going to impart this to you and you're going to feel it and you're going to see it operating in the coming weeks in your heart and in your life. That I promise you, I've seen it for decades now. It works. It just works. Father, with the authority that you've invested in me, I stand in this house and I release this blessing upon every single individual, every single marriage, every single family, and all of the extended family of every person in this room. Even those who do not know you and are running from you, we call them into the kingdom. Even now, we call them. And the blessing is, may the Lord bless you. And may the Lord keep you. And may the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you his peace and his rest and his joy. And may his countenance of pleasure be lifted up upon you, and may you feel the warmth of his grace like you have never felt it before. And let it go forth, Father. I'm asking this to go forth. Let it saturate every single person, every single marriage, every single family, every single extended household. And let your grace activate it all. In our hearts and in our thinking. And Lord, let us and help us and enable us and bring us into the place where we are thinking with you, in lockstep, walking with you day in and day out. And these things I declare in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us as we seek first after God's kingdom and release it to transform lives and cities. If you would like more information about how to grow in the kingdom or connect with Legacy, go to our website, www.legacynv.com.